Revelations describes something that is and will be. It describes a scene that we will one day participate in, and even now people are participating in. They're celebrating and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes in the midst of our struggle on this planet, it's hard to see how God is working through all the things that are in our lives and everything that's going on in our lives to understand that that's the end game. This is the end game. This is where we're going. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. It's a place that God has prepared for those of us who call upon Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this morning, we're going to look at the life of Joseph. We're continuing a study in the book of Joseph. And Joseph had dreams. He had dreams about one day he would rule over his brothers. In fact, there's an old song, Statler Brothers. Joseph had a coat of many colors. Joseph had a closet full of dreams. One day how he'd someday rule his brothers, and it tore his life apart right at the seams. Anybody remember that song? That's old. That's way old. Anyway, and so, but because Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and sent him on his way to Egypt land, you know, and all, it just goes on. It's real country. Anyway, but Joseph is living in a prison, and he had these incredible dreams. I don't know about you. Did you have a dream when you were growing up? I grew up in Texas, San Antonio, Texas, in fact. And so my biggest dream was one day I'm going to be a cowboy. You know, of course, you know, a little boy growing up in Texas, you know, and, you know, that's all you do. You know, John Wayne was my hero. And, you know, I'm just going to grow up to be a cowboy. And, you know, things change, you know, and all of a sudden one morning you wake up, you're living in California. How did that happen? You know? And your path is kind of meandering. Sometimes you see purposefully what's going on. Sometimes you know exactly what you want to do. Sometimes a mistake or a failure, whatever. Sometimes it's just, you know, whatever. And you're wondering, how is God active? Is God active in all this? And I got to think that there were times, we never hear Joseph say this. We never hear him wondering about this. But I've got to think that there were times while he was in prison, laying there in those dark prison cell late at night, all alone, wondering, God, how are you going to work all this out? This seems impossible. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, God, I've made such a mess? And Joseph is kind of innocent in this, but don't make him too innocent, because every one of us are sinners. Every one of us makes mistakes. And the reality is, but don't we all struggle with that sometimes? We look at the mistakes we made. We look at the failures we have, or maybe just the way life has dealt us, whatever it is. And we look at it and we say, God, I had this dream. I thought this was what was going to happen. I wonder if Joseph at night ever wondered, God, how can you possibly make my dream come true? How is it even, are you even there? And I wonder if that's the same with maybe possibly for you. You're wondering, in the midst of what's going on in my life right now today, how can I know that God is actively engaged? How can I believe it? How can I live that? Because the reality is if God created us, we've learned this. If God created us, he's created us for a purpose. He didn't just cookie cutter us out and say, oh, well, you know, bad day. When he made me, you know, okay, all right. So, oops, none of that's in God's design. There's no oops, you know, there's no recall. Well, maybe there is. Okay, but let's not go there. The reality is that we struggle with this whole question, I think. I struggle with it. Maybe you don't, okay? So we'll just be about me. But I struggle sometimes wondering, God, how are you going to work this out? I don't see how you can possibly do this. If you've ever struggled with something like that, I think the story of Joseph and how God engages in his life and Joseph can't really see it, and yet God is there the whole time. I think the story of Joseph will give you hope, and it'll give you courage to live in that hope. And even in the midst of the circumstances that say, there's no way God can fix this. There's no way that God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish in my life. And besides that, I'm the one that's made the mistakes. How can I possibly deserve that God would want to do anything in my life? But God is filled with grace, and that's what we're going to discover in the story of Joseph. I love this story, and it's one of the most famous stories. It's Joseph revealing the meaning of Pharaoh's dreams. And so we're going to look at it. We're in Genesis chapter 41. So we're not going to read the whole story, but I want to read parts of it to you. And just look at how God is engaged in the activity of the planet. The Bible is not a story about man. The Bible is a story about God. Every story we read is revealing what God is doing. So let's look at it. Chapter 49, verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again. I would have woke up too. Okay? He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them. No one could tell him what was going on. Now, this is critical, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but don't miss that. Now, what's interesting is in the next few verses, that our chief cupbearer, remember the forgetful guy, the guy who's forgotten Joseph and did not remember him? Well, this is the guy. He suddenly is reminded, hey, Pharaoh, there's a guy that I was in prison with. I didn't want to bring this up to you, but there was a guy I was in prison with. He can interpret dreams. And so suddenly, Joseph is summoned to Pharaoh's presence. In verse 14, it says this. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon, but not so quickly that he didn't go by the bathhouse before he gets there. Apparently, you don't just go from the dungeon into the courtroom of Pharaoh. Apparently, you don't move from the prison into the palace without going through the bathhouse. Now, that's critical, I think, and I think it's important. Now, there's a couple reasons why it's important. Probably because Joseph stunk, you know, but the other part of it is this. He would have been offensive to the Egyptian culture to walk in with that filth. No one hears us sometimes because of the trash we carry around with us. Yeah, I'm thinking about Facebook, but we'll not go there. Okay. Then verse 15, Pharaoh says to Joseph, he tells him why he's been sent there. I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, this is testimony about Joseph. Here is what people are hearing about Joseph. Now, if we look at Joseph's story again, we see in every way that Joseph was an honorable man, a man of integrity, a person who lived his faith in God, if you will. However, we don't see how God is active in his life in some ways. Now, we're going to watch this, okay? But here's the deal. The people's testimony about Joseph is a good testimony. Now, this is a short rabbit chase, okay? Just want to show you this. Recognize that Joseph had to transform his cultural attributes in order to speak to Pharaoh, someone outside of his culture. He had to figure out a way to speak to them. I've shared with you a story that my mom learned how to text because her grandkids never return phone calls. What's she doing? She's putting on the culture that she wants to communicate with in order to communicate with and stay engaged. I love what Nick and Cube Creators have done, in a way in which to engage in the culture in order to give a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's an incredible way to do that. Now, that's something you and I are called to do. Now, the next thing is part is that the witness, his wit, people talk good about Joseph. They have a high opinion of him. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. That's that too is a recognition that Joseph had a voice because he engaged the culture in the way in which was appropriate, but he also engaged the culture because he was a person of integrity. He lived out his life. Now, does it mean he's perfect? No, he's not perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way in which he lived his life. But Joseph, real quickly, corrects Pharaoh. He says, I can't do it, But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. In verse 16, God will give the answer. So again, a witness always does what? A witness points to God. You don't point to we don't exalt ourselves. We exalt who Jesus is and what God has done in our own life. This is just what Joseph is doing in this picture. Oh my goodness. Now what's interesting here, too, is that Joseph then hears the dreams, and Pharaoh tells him the dreams, adds a little bit of detail that he didn't give the other guys. But anyway, but instantly, at the very end, we have this verse. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. And so they're clueless. They didn't know. Now we can't move too quickly past these parts of the story. And here's why. Pharaoh was considered to be a god for every Egyptian. The citizenship looked at Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a god. But here is a God who doesn't have all the answers. Here is a God who can't interpret the meaning of these dreams. Here is a God who's being spoken to by a God. And he has no understanding. And now he's standing in front of a cell, a prisoner of war, a prisoner who's giving him the meaning. Don't miss this. God demonstrates his power. First of all, he's communicating with someone who is outside the family of faith. He's engaging with people who are far away from him, a person who believes that somehow he's the master of his own universe. He's communicating with them. And God is going to use Pharaoh, and God is going to use Egypt, and God is going to use the vast agricultural system that Egypt has developed and the Nile River. He's going to use all of that to accomplish his purposes. See, God is all-powerful and all-knowing and everything in all this. And so Joseph then explains the meaning of the dream very quickly in the other verses. I'm not going to read everything there. In verse 25, he says this. It won't come up on the screen. Just let me tell you this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do." God is a revealer of the future because God is active and engaged. He's all powerful, so he's a revealer of the future. Joseph goes on to explain the meaning of everything is this: the first 7 years are going to be great, so unbelievable that you won't be able, you can't imagine it. But the next 7 years are going to be so bad that the prior 7 years will be completely forgotten. That's how bad it's going to be. Everything will be eaten up. But Joseph said, he goes on and says, God has given you this, Pharaoh, so that you can prepare for it. Now, God also gave Joseph a plan. And Joseph lays out the plan for Pharaoh. He says, hey, look, what you need to do is you need to find someone who's discerning and wise. That's critical. Find someone who is discerning and wise and get some people that will work with him. And over the next 7 years, store up grain. Store up grain so that you'll feed all of Egypt, and the famine that's coming will be well prepared for. At the end of it all, Joseph gets a promotion. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 41, verse 37 through 40. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, he turned to his officials, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" I think that was a rhetorical question. I didn't think one of his wise guys was going to say, "I could do it. I got the plan now." I don't think this was the time to raise your hand. Pharaoh wasn't expecting an answer from anyone. He's basically saying, "This is our guy. This is the guy." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made known all this to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you." Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Look for someone who is wise and discerning." Pharaoh, he put the words in Pharaoh's mouth. "There's no one so discerning and wise as you." Why? Because God has made all this known to you. We can't miss this because Pharaoh is a god, and he's recognizing that there is a God above him, that there's someone else that is more powerful and more all-knowing than he is. And Pharaoh is his instrument. Pharaoh is being used by God. "God has made all this known to you. There is no one so discerning
and wise as you. You shall be in charge of all of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." Amazing. That morning, Joseph woke up in prison. By the end of the day, he was standing in front of Pharaoh, and he had on new clothes, and he had on a robe of royalty. He had a chain with a gold chain around his neck. He had chains on his feet. He was fettered in the prison. Those chains have been released, and now he has a gold chain around him. He has the mark, the signet ring of Pharaoh on his hand, and he's indicating he is the second in command of all of Egypt. Wow, that's a promotion. There is no way that morning Joseph was laying in bed and saying, "This is the day." How could he possibly know what God was going to do, how God was going to do it, how and when he was going to do it? That morning when he woke up, by the end of the day, there had been an unbelievable change of events. I love that song new song that we're learning, "I Got Saved." Because the reality is, we're already standing with Christ in the Holy of Holies. You say, wait. Well, no, we're at Clovis, First Baptist, and 2080 Toll House. Yes, physically, that's where we are. But it's already been done. When you prayed to receive Christ, before you received Christ, you were like me. I was a sinner, trapped, and in chains. I was a slave to sin. But God broke those chains, and I prayed to receive Christ, and the righteousness of Christ covered me, and God elevated me to His Son, His child. And I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who I am. I may be struggling with the weight of living out my flesh life and trying to do all the things that I'm called to do or try to be the person that God, or just simply trying to imitate Christ, which is such a struggle, and you know it is. But the reality is I am. You are. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of the Most High King. And your standing is secure. It's not based upon anything you've done or anything you're going to do or anything you haven't done. It's based upon the grace of God. And the reality is Joseph's transfer of unbelievable promotion is because of the grace of God. Pharaoh is being used because of the grace of God. You know, all these things are falling into place. In fact, it's so unbelievable that Joseph, you know, the first 7 years of the abundance, Joseph is suddenly and overnight, again, 7 years, during that 7 years, they accumulate so much grain, they stop counting it. It says this in verse 49. Now, again, I don't have it up on the screen, but verse 49, "Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond all measure." It was beyond measure. And then, so all of this, and then he had two sons that were born to him. And by the end of those 7 years, Joseph is forgetting all of the misery, all of the suffering that he had endured because of his slavery, because of being sold into slavery, because of being so unrighteous, being condemned by his, by being accused, excuse me, by Potiphar's wife and ending up in this jail cell and all this. He is forgetting all this because he sees the hand of God. But the 7 years of abundance in Egypt come to an end. Tells us in verse 53, this will be up on the screen behind me, "The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food." Look at that. That's the people are crying to Pharaoh. Why? Because he's their God. "God, give us food." And what does Pharaoh say? Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." Pharaoh recognizes, I'm not the source of life here. Joseph is. And Joseph knows who the source of life is. It's God. And Joseph is consistently pointing to people to God. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. You know, what's interesting about this story and recognizing everything that's going on is that, again, Joseph could not have known how God was going to do this. How, when, if, how, you know, just a question. And we recognize that also God is carrying out a plan. I love this statement. I want to bury this in my head. God is carrying out a plan for your life, for which all things are a preparation. You may not be able to see it, but it is so. God is carrying out a plan for your life, for which all things are a preparation. You may not be able to see it, but it is so. It's real. It's true. It's absolutely true. Joseph could not have known how this was all going to work out. And it's not about Joseph's gifts. You know, one of the things I've heard a lot of sermons about Joseph and talking and lifting up Joseph. And yes, he was absolutely a great prophet. He was a great person. He was a person of integrity. He lived out his faith in a great way. We see he's elevated to a point, but don't miss this. He wasn't elevated because he was so good. He was elevated because of the grace of God. Think about it. God put all this together, and there was no way that Joseph could have seen all this, how this was going to occur. For instance, Joseph was in a cistern. Remember his brothers? They dumped him in a hole and were going to let him die there. That's what was going to happen. What if they had not sold him into slavery? God would have still worked out his plan according to his plan. What if, but instead, what happens? You know, I just imagine, I don't know why I imagine a desert and they have a fire. I don't understand that. But anyway, they have a fire. It's early morning, and they're laughing about their brother being in the pit over there, and he's been in the pit all night long, and they're getting ready to break camp and leave, and suddenly they see some Ishmaelites coming across. Who brought those Ishmaelites then, at that particular time, on that particular way, by them? Who did that? And so they pulled them out. And he goes down to Egypt and he's in jail, and you think, how can that possibly be a work of God moving Joseph to where God wants to use him? God wants to put him in a particular place. How could that be the work of God? And now he's faithfully serving in Potiphar's home. But again, how did he end up in Potiphar's home? Why is it that Potiphar and Joseph showed up at the slave trading place on the same day, at the same time? Who did that? That was God. God was actively engaged in those things. God had his hand on Joseph. God has a purpose for his life. God has a purpose for your life and for my life. And God is working out those details. He's working out that purpose. And even when we're disobedient, he continues to engage in our life. Now, of course, we have a choice. We want to be obedient. We want to be hanging in there with God. But we're not going to go there yet. But let's stay with Joseph for just a minute. Then you say, well, hold on, wait, Ken. But what about Potiphar's wife? I mean, she accused him, and that was just a dirty deal. I get that. But Joseph ends up in a prison with two guys who were in the court of Pharaoh. Who did that? That was God. What if Potiphar's wife hadn't accused him? God would have still worked out his purposes. What if Joseph's brothers hadn't sold him into slavery? God would have still worked out his purpose. What if God would still accomplish his purpose in Joseph's life? Why? Because all of these are works. When Joseph was formed in his mother's womb, all of his days that were meant to be were ordained by God, and God was working in his life even at that moment. And when he came out of that birth canal, it set into motion Joseph's life, and God was going to be engaged in Joseph's life, and Joseph's life was going to be a way in which he was going to use his life to save the entire world. But there's no way that Joseph could have known that when he woke up that morning in that prison cell. And even after 7 years of feast, of abundance, and he's forgetting all of the suffering that he's had, you don't hear him saying, hey, you know, now that I've amassed all these fortunes and the famine's about to begin, I should probably send some people and go find my brothers and my dad and bring them down here. Because, you know, after all, I mean, they're my family. No, it says he's forgotten all of his memories, all of his suffering, if you will, not his memories, his suffering, even in his father's household. Joseph doesn't understand that he's going to be the instrument to save Israel. They're going to be protected because of him. He doesn't know that at the end of the story. At the end of the story, he's seeing the abundance of God, and he's rewriting the past. We've all done that, right? It's a new way of remembering. I found this quote, and I love the way it goes. It says, his forgetting was only to a better way of remembering. Have you ever done that? You know, his forgetting was only to a better way of remembering. So, for instance, when I made the decision to go into ministry and I decided to go to seminary, we were moving from Cape Girardeau, Missouri to Louisville, Kentucky. We should have stayed in Missouri because I had a house there. Kelly could have gotten a job nursing, that sort of thing. It all been a, you know, all, you know, it would have made more sense financially, everything like that. But, you know, but no, I was dumb. And so we moved to Louisville. It was a mistake. I could have stayed in Missouri. I could have driven back and forth to Louisville. It wasn't that far of a drive and wouldn't have been too bad. But we moved. Dumb mistake, you know. It cost us some money, cost us, you know, da-da-da-da. Anyway. But Kelly met a nurse at King's Daughters Hospital in Madison, Indiana. And through that nurse, we met a lawyer. And through that lawyer, we have Kyle, my oldest son. And that started us on a track of adoption. Now, what have I done? I'm not forgetting. I'm just choosing to remember differently. That wasn't a dumb mistake. It actually turned out to be pretty smart because it served. We've all done that. We go back and we look and we see God used that mistake, even that hiccup, even that misturn, and he used it for my benefit and for his glory. Joseph began to remember and see his life in that way as well. And it's encouraging. God is the one who brings Joseph into Pharaoh's presence. God uses everyone. God is working in everything to accomplish his purpose. God will accomplish this. God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. God brings Joseph into Pharaoh's presence. Look at this. God uses the dream, the chief cupbearer, Potiphar's wife's accusation, even his brother's jealousy to accomplish this reintroduction. Not because he needed their participation, but rather because God works in all things to bring about the good he desires. That's scripture. That's the reality. That's what God is working in all things to accomplish his purpose in your life and in my life. Now the question is will we be participants in this? Will we be willing participants? Or will we fight God? And I'm asking you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to decide, listen, what if we woke up every morning believing this? God is carrying out a plan for my life for which all things are a preparation. I may not be able to see it, but it is so. And I'm not talking about the mistakes you made yesterday because today is a new day. Amen? That's good news. I don't know what the mess of your life has brought you to at this particular moment, but the reality is God wants to use your life. He wants to work in your life to accomplish his purpose. It doesn't matter what your past has been. God can write a new ending to the story of your life. I love this story. Decide to trust God. Oh, this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Don't read that too fast, Ken. to him who is able to do immeasurable, God is able to stop everything. God is able to correct. God can create all, has created everything that is. God can redeem your life. God can change your life. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is working in your life. You may not be able to see the hand of God right now, but God is working in your life. God brought you here this morning to hear this message. Be encouraged that God is at work in your life and accomplishing his purposes. And I would also tell you this, you need to determine to be faithful now. I love this passage in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, I think it's on the next screen, please. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And again, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about today, right now. I'm asking you to decide to trust God today, the next moment. Determine to be faithful now, this moment, and then the next, and then the next. I read a story years ago about a man that his son had been hurt in an accident, and he and his son he'd been caring for his son years and years and years and years and years, and they were interviewing him because he'd done such an incredible job, and people were talking about how much these two guys hung out together and everything, and they were asking the dad, so you know, when this accident happened, you know, and he realized, you know, you're gonna have to be basically taking care of your son every day of his life. How could you just decide to do that? I mean, for the rest of his life, your life. And the dad said, I didn't decide to do it for the rest of my life. I just ask myself every morning, can I do it today? I'm not asking you to change the past, because you and I can't do that. God can redeem the past. What I'm saying is that decide to trust God today. Determine in your mind to be faithful to God now, whatever you do from this moment on. But Ken, I'm going to fail. Okay. When you fail, when you fall, get back up. Stay down long enough to pray. And keep praying when you get back up. And admit your disobedience, but get back up and step into obedience again. And when you fail, fall, pray, get back up and get back in the game and be obedient. Because the reality is God is working out a plan in your life. And though you can't see the evidence of it, it truly is there. Because we do have a destination. God is preparing us for a home and a destiny. And God wants you and I to be a part of the celebration of life in Revelation. God wants us to bring other people. He wants to use us to feed the world the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think that's something we want to be a part of. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much that you saved us and that you redeemed us and you love us so much. I can't believe that you're including us. And I think about the mistakes that I've made, all of which should disqualify me for this. But the only thing that qualifies me, the only thing that qualifies us, is the grace of God. And it's a grace that has been poured out onto Joseph's life, into Egypt, into Pharaoh. It's a wasted, it seems almost wasted, but no, it's not. Because God, you are using it to accomplish a great miracle. And God, you are using it today to accomplish a great miracle in us. I pray, God, that we would be obedient to you, that we would live faithfully just as Joseph did, and that we would love you faithfully as Joseph did, and we would serve you faithfully as Joseph did, but recognizing all the time that it is grace accomplishing all these things. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for continuing to work in our life, engage in our life, even when we've been disobedient, even when we walked away from you. You continue to accomplish your purposes. And I pray, God, that we would be a church, folks, people committed, fully committed to you, living out our faith. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.